Before our guest speaker comes, and I'm very eager for Ben to come, let's think about worship is bragging about God centered on His truth. That's what we've been doing, singing through these songs, bragging about God centered on His truth. I want to brag about you for just a moment, the church body. Some amazing things have happened in the last couple of weeks. Koinonia, His Little Feet. Some of you probably saw this on Facebook, but our church supported, for the first time, 53 Compassion International Children last week. We gave an offering that was almost equal, special offering to His Little Feet, that was almost equal to our weekly offering. And we, within 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks' notice, were able to get homes for six of the young kids and the chaperones. So you all have been giving, and then there was meals for His Little Feet. There was meals for Koinonia. So you've been giving and giving and giving. And I realize not everyone's had an equal part in it. That's okay, because we give in different ways at different times. But I was just so touched by that. So I just want to brag about you for a few minutes and thank you for that. And I'm going to brag about Ben, too. So come on up, Ben. I've known Ben since he was 15 or 16 or so. Didn't really know him that well because he was at our former church. He was in sophomore in high school. Then went off to college before I left 6 years later. So didn't get a chance to know him, but getting to know him even better and just real impressed and delighted by his ministry in Thailand. And let me say as well, a brag about the missions committee. He was here about 2 years ago, and you know, we'll have missionaries come through, and we're trying to decide as a church and as a missions committee, is this a good fit? You know, can we able to support them? And of course, it's very few that we can support, limited funds. But looked at Ben and his ministry at Zoe International, and the missions committee said, "Let's do it." And I think it was a fantastic decision. So thank you for being with us, and thank you, Ben.
Yeah, I think it was a fantastic decision, too. No, we are so blessed to be here today. And really, this weekend, we got to stay at Pastor's house last night, and it was just tremendous to be able to just share stories and share a meal. And we are just honored that your church has chosen to partner with us. So I'm going to introduce my family quick, and then we'll get going. But my wife, Jen, which she's going to actually come up and talk in a few minutes, so that's good for all of you. You don't have to listen to me the whole time. And then our children, Isaiah, Adeline, Haley, and Galilee. So they're 14, 12, 11, and 8. And we all live in Chiang Mai, Thailand. We've been there for 2 full years. We're back in the States now for 2 months, sharing in churches and visiting our supporters and visiting family. We'll return August 1st, and we've committed to at least 4 more years, and we'll just see from there, see how God leads. But we are just, like we said, honored that your church decided to partner with us. We absolutely believe what we just talked about was perfect. You know, as I stand up here today, you're going to hear about the things we're a part of, but all that we're a part of is really what Jesus is doing in Thailand. And so if anything we talk about today, that's our whole goal. Is that you just hear about how amazing He is and what He's doing in the lives of children, what He's doing in reaching people who have not heard His name and what He's doing. And that's really all it's about for us. Is we, you know, years ago we fell in love with Jesus about the time, I was 15, 16 when I committed my life to Christ, and you know, Jen a few years later, and that's it. We love Jesus and we're just gonna be obedient. So that's how we ended up in Thailand. We just listened. And that's really what I want you guys to hear today, is just about what He's doing. So there's times where we're talking about what we're doing, but really what we want you to hear is just how good God is and how we're seeing Him work in the lives of people in Thailand. What I do is I work for an organization called Zoe International. I'm going to share just a little bit about that, and then my wife's going to come up and share about her ministry. So Zoe's focus is on reaching the lost with the gospel and then rescuing children out of human trafficking. We would say our number one is reaching people with the gospel. We believe that the gospel is what's going to end human trafficking, but really we believe the bondage of sin is really what people need to be rescued from. We live in a country where Thailand is about 99% non-Christian. It's 1% Christian, possibly 2%. We believe we're pushing it to 2% over the last couple of years, so we're going for further the next year. But there are very few Christians. We go to places where the name of Jesus has never, ever been heard. Whole villages where they have no concepts of the Bible or the gospel. I like to share this story. I was going for a pastor's training. I was driving. I had one of my Thai staffs with me and then my intern in the car, and we were driving 6 hours to train pastors up in the mountains. And as we're driving, we get stopped at a police stop, and they said, hey, there's this guy. He has no way to get to this city that's way over here. Just take him as far as you can, drop him off. He'll figure it out. So we said, yeah. I mean, the police told us to do it, so we were going to do it anyways. But so the guy got in with us, and as we rode, my intern, right when he got in, sat up, and just, you know, first question, you ever heard of Jesus? And the guy said, no, I've never heard that name before. And so our intern shared the gospel with him, and the man ended up accepting Jesus, turning his life to Christ, but we still had like a three-hour drive. And so he said, just keep telling me the gospel, because he said, I don't know anyone who's ever heard this good news. I don't know anyone who knows this name, so I need to memorize it. So then for the next 3 hours, my intern and the Thai staff just took turns repeating the gospel to this man so that he could take it to his village. And so those are the sorts of situations we're dealing with. Day in and day out, we're going to places where you know, we're just taking the light for some of these people for the first time. And so that's really what our number one goal is at Zoe, is to bring the gospel to Thailand. Another way that we do that, that I'm a big part of, is we run a Bible school where we're training Thais to reach other Thais. We believe that the Thai people will be what build their own church, and it's going to be, you know, that's how their church is going to grow. So every year we take 20 students for a two-year program where we train them in understanding the Word of God and how to use the Word of God. Those students are out every weekend taking the gospel to remote villages, to the slums, to the cities, wherever they can go. They take the gospel every weekend to people in Thailand. So that's what we would say. If you were to ask me, what's the number one thing that Zoe does? I would say we bring the gospel to Thailand. But what we're known for, and what we're becoming much more known for throughout the world, is our fight against human trafficking. And so 15 years ago, our founders went to Thailand to work in an orphanage. They ran a business in Hollywood, renting out lighting equipment. They supported missionaries, and they heard about this orphanage that was going to close. And they just said, well, we're just not okay with that, so we're going to sell everything and go over there and run this orphanage. And so that's what they did. But then once they got there, and this is back 2001, 2002, you know, the words human trafficking weren't in our brains as much as they are now. It wasn't a common topic. And they were confronted for the first time what was going on with children in northern Thailand. And they just said, okay, this is it. This is what God's called us to do. And so that's what Zoe was born out of, is their first encounter with human trafficking. Northern Thailand, where we live, it's a very safe place to live for our family. It's a very calm place to live. But because of the nature of the countries around it, and then also some of the laws within it, and the way I don't want to talk too negative here, but the way Buddhism kind of allows people to do things they shouldn't do, and people around them just allow it to happen, it makes it just a perfect place for criminal organizations to come in and traffic children. There's many countries around Thailand where there's civil war or persecution, and many people run across the border. In Thailand, a refugee has no rights. They're unable to ever gain employment, unable to gain really anything, and they become prime prey by the criminal organizations. Beyond that, there are many poor people throughout the mountains in Thailand who are very uneducated and are desperate for help. And so again, they're prime prey for the criminal organizations. And so because of that, northern Thailand is known to be a hub for many of these criminal organizations, for both taking children, but then also spreading them out throughout the world. So many of the children are not only just trafficked within Thailand, but then all taken to other places throughout the world. And so that's why we're specifically there. That's why Zoe has stayed in northern Thailand to fight trafficking there. One unique thing about Zoe is that we believe that we need to be a part of all the parts of fighting human trafficking. And so there's amazing organizations that do one part or two parts of fighting against human trafficking, and we partner with many of those organizations. We fully support them, but we believe we've been called to all phases. And so for us, that starts with our prevention work. And so, you know, I could share a lot of stories. This was the most shocking thing for me when I got my feet on the ground in Thailand, is how little information is given to the people who are in some of the most dangerous areas where trafficking is happening. You know, they're unaware of how the criminal organizations are pulling children in, how they're convincing families to allow these children to go work somewhere. They're all completely unaware of these things. And so we have a prevention team that goes out weekly to schools, other orphanages, villages. Every single week they go to the same slum, which we know is one of the most dangerous areas for children in Thailand, and they just deliver their information about all that's going on with trafficking. And so our prevention work is really the start phase to just get people educated so they can begin to protect themselves. But beyond that, we believe in what we would call pre-rescued. And what that means is that if we find a child who we know is in absolute danger of being trafficked, we will pull that child out of that situation before that happens. And so it's amazing. The last month before we left, 9 children were rescued in that month by Zoe, and 8 out of those 9 were what we would say were pre-trafficked. They were all either on the market to be sold or at a high risk of being sold within that month. But we go and actually remove those children before that happens. And so that's what we say is our prevention work. The next step for us is our intervention, or actually the rescue of children. And so I make the joke, but it's not a joke. I have very little to do with that work. I think it's because I'm just not that smart, or maybe I'm not. I stick out too much. I can't be covert in the work. But our rescue team is incredible. We have 20 individuals who are dedicated to finding where children are, and then pulling them out of those situations. So a lot of their work is fact finding. It's surveillance. It's a lot done on the computers. You know, a lot of just watching certain bars to see if children are coming in and out. So it's a lot of undercover work. And so we have two Americans who help that, 2 ex-police officers, and then the rest is our Thai staff. We work with then the local police and other organizations. Once we have the information, to actually pull those children out and rescue those children. And so, you know, we've rescued thousands of children over the last few years from many different situations, whether it's, you know, from the brothels, from, work camps, from beggar rings where the children are sent out daily to beg for money, but then, you know, held captive by a person. So we've rescued children from many situations. And then our last step, and this is what I think makes Zoe unique, is that we believe we need to be part of the restoration process. And I think that we have that heart because, like, that's God's heart, right? Like God rescued us. Jesus rescued us from who we were, our sins, our junk, but then he never stops working on us. Like, it's enough, right, that, like, Jesus died on the cross for me, and if I accept that, like, I'm saved. But, like, God says that's not enough. I'm not done with you. And to me, that's incredible. That's how much our Father loves us. So at Zoe, we feel the same way about these children. It's not just enough that we rescue them. We want to see them become who God created them to be. We want to see them become a whole person living for Christ. And so we run a home where we create family units for the children who stay with us full time. And the restoration process is everything. Whenever I try to explain, what does restoration look like? Like, absolutely, it's counseling. It's working through their trauma. It's introducing them to Jesus Christ. But it's as simple as education. Some of these children, we have a young man that we rescued him at 15 or 16. He had no concept of how old he actually was. He had never once been to school. He didn't speak the Thai language because we're mostly sure he's not Thai. We believe he's Burmese. And he'd always been held by traffickers who weren't Thai. So he didn't even know the Thai language. I mean, this young man had never had any sort of a childhood at all when he came to us. So what do you do with that child? I mean, to give him a future, we had to start him right down in kindergarten and work on this kid and get him educated. And then physically, I joke, one of my first months there, I sat in a meeting where the head of our kitchen came in and gave this hour-long presentation on eating healthy. And I said, what are we doing? Why are we spending an hour listening to this guy? But then afterwards, as I reflected, that's the exact man you want committed to feeding our children. This man is committed to putting the right foods into our children's bodies so that they can restore their bodies. Many of them are fed terribly when they're in captivity. And so, it's the whole process is restoration. And so it would take me, we'd have to do a seminar and you'd have to give me way too much time. You guys don't have that amount of time. Plus, you'd probably get tired. So just to say that it's really everything that involves bringing a child from where they were to really where we believe God wants them to be. And so that's the restoration phase. And most of the work that I do is involved in the restoration side. My wife kind of scolded me. We spoke at a church last Sunday, and I shared about my job description, and she said, it's so confusing, because as missionaries, we have these huge job descriptions where we kind of are in many areas, and we're working here, working there. So I'm going to do the best to kind of explain what I do, but it is a normal amount of work. I do get rest at the end of the week. I am okay. It just sounds like a lot. So what I do, the work I do, as a part of Zoe, is that I train our house parents. And so our house parents are committed Thai Christians who commit to this being their full-time ministry, is to raise these children. And I often, I say it so it doesn't happen, but I often get really choked up when I speak about this group of people. They are the true heroes of the ministry. They're day in and day out dealing with these traumatized children. They're the ones that every day they're committed to loving and caring for these children. So these are some of the most precious people in the world. When we visited Zoe as a couple, would have been 4 years ago, 3 years ago now, Jen and I, when Jen and I visited to kind of decide if this was something we were going to do, I met the house fathers, and I just went like, oh yeah, like this is it. Like pouring my heart into these men, like there could be nothing better. So, didn't work. I almost had it. So I was so close. So I do that. And so a lot of that is just bringing in good speakers to teach them about trauma care, but also just basic, like how do you work to create a family schedule? How do you keep all the kids focused on their education? We talk a ton about just dealing with conflict management within their families. Their families are sometimes changing, different children coming in at different times. And it's just working with how to really help them to keep their family healthy and to become good parents. And so that's a lot of the work I do. I also manage and run what we call as our mentors team. So we believed 2 or 3 years ago that our teens really needed people to look up to. Zoe is out, we're an hour outside of the city, up in the mountains, and that is for security reasons for the children we rescue. And so our children aren't around a lot of other people. And so we decided we needed young Christians, young Thai Christians, just to be on site for them to say, 5 years from now, I want to be like that person. It's great for them to look up to our house parents. Just like kids, you should look up to your parents, but there's that next level in between, of a young Christian. So in the past few years, we've hired 10 young Thai Christians to just live within our families and kind of be just mentors to our kids. They hang out with them. They play sports with them. They study scripture with them. They play music with them. But they're just there to just really pour into our kids. And so I manage that group of people. What I really do is just pour into them. And so I meet with each one of them weekly and just kind of dig into how they're doing spiritually, if they're growing, what issues they're having, so we can prepare them to then go and do the same with our rescued children. I also, our Bible school has every year, if they graduate, they're able to apply for an internship with us, and that's just teaching them the work that we do. Obviously, hiring good Christian staff in a country that's 1% Christian can be very difficult. So our internship program is really important. So every year I manage our interns, which I absolutely love. So I have 5 interns every year that I get to just hang out with and help them learn how to be a good employee, help them to understand maybe what God's calling is for their lives. Last year our interns, we ended up hiring 3 of them to stay on, so they're working for us now. And then 2, we were able to launch off into other ministries. So it's just a blessing to kind of work with those young people in that way. And then I have a lot of other little tasks in there. I help when our short-term teams come, when they visit. I give tours when people come to visit, things like that. But the major part of my work beyond that is that I work with a program we call the Mercy Network, where we encourage and partner with local pastors all throughout the country. And so these are pastors who we found who really have a heart to reach whatever community they're in. And so we partner with Children's Hunger Fund that provides us with food, that then we create food boxes that we give to these pastors so they can use them for evangelism in their communities. And then beyond that, we offer, I visit these guys throughout the year just to encourage them and inspire them and just to spend time with them and really, because like we said, we believe that the church and the gospel is what is really going to change human trafficking. So we really believe in these pastors in their community. So we have 40 pastors that I go around and visit throughout the year and just spend time with. The exciting thing, because this had never been the case until that, the 9 kids I talked about last month that were saved, the 8 that we would call were pre-trafficked, were all tips from some of our pastors who called in and said, hey, a kid in our village is in danger, here's what I know. And so that network is huge beyond just we believe in inspiring these guys to reach their community, but it's also been a big part of us creating a network to protect children all throughout Thailand. So that's a little bit about what I do. I'm gonna speak a little more, but I'm gonna get my wife up here before I take all the time. So we are dual ministry, and so what that means is when we went out, we actually signed up with 2 different organizations. So I work for Zoe International, and my wife works at Grace International, which she can come and tell you all about. So,
good morning. As Ben said, he works for Zoe International, and their main focus is to spread the gospel and rescue children from human trafficking. And I work at Grace International School in Chiang Mai. We are a K-12 school for missionary students. We have about 550 kids, and 90% of those students are from missionary families. And those students come from 24 different nations, and their families reach out in ministry to about 24 countries throughout Asia, throughout Europe, and they reach millions of people with the gospel. So the job of Grace International School is to provide a quality Christian education for those families so they can stay on their field and they can continue to do ministry. Some of our families are also involved in saving children from human trafficking. Some families are involved in gospel translation, orphan care, lots of other ministries throughout Asia. So our goal is those families can stay on the field, continue to minister, and we'll provide an education for them. I've been teaching kindergarten for 16 years, and so I'm a kindergarten teacher at Grace. And I have the wonderful opportunity to get those kids right away. Their first year in school, they come to me. I have, like I said, 90% of our kids at Grace are missionary kids. We do have Thai national kids that come to Grace also. And so I've had the great privilege to just introduce the gospel to these Thai children for the very first time. And so that's always a privilege when I can do that. But our 4 children also attend Grace, and they've really enjoyed it. It's a wonderful school for these families, and so that's just part of my ministry in Thailand. So.
Yeah, we actually, Grace is what got us to first look at moving to Thailand, and then through that process, we found Zoe, and I've shared many times since that Jen, incredibly, God has gifted her with this ability to teach, and really this desire to teach. I don't want to throw under the bus, but we will be like up at night, like watching a movie. I'd be like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Creating a lesson plan." Like, who does that at night? You know, like, that's super fun. But that's what she does. She loves to teach. And so for God to lead us to a place where she can do that, to really encourage these families who are doing some amazing things, is just inspiring. But I always said, like, for me, there was never anything like that. Like, I never had a passion until we found Zoe. And I found this fight to see slavery ended in the world. I mean, we're committed to that. We're committed to see it end. And that's a big statement. You know, it's believed today there are more slaves in the world than any other time in history. And, like, that's hard for us, you know, and, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin, and it's hard for us as we're in Wisconsin to hear that statement and think that to be true, right? Like, we're in a civilized world, and we believe so much in freedom, but yet there's more people in slavery today than any other time in history in the world. And so, I mean, we don't believe it is just about the social justice. We believe this is God's heart. And so that's why we've committed to this. And then add on to that the amount of people that are in spiritual slavery, the people who have never, ever heard the name of Jesus. I mean, that, to me, that's, like, to me, that's just not okay. Like, it's not okay that people are in slavery, but that people have never heard the name of Jesus. The hope that it brings me every day to know my Savior, and there's people who have never had that opportunity, that's just not okay. To me, that's not okay. And so that's why we feel so called to this fight. That's why we feel so called to be a part of this. But the reality is that it can be very, very intimidating. And I'm going to read for you guys some scripture. I'm going to, if it's all right, just share with you guys a little bit from the Word of God and then kind of try to tie it back into some of the things we do. Am I okay or am I not okay? I mean, I don't know. Okay. You got to give me a signal if I'm not okay. Somebody in the back, give me a signal. All right, so this is from Luke 9, 9:23. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Forever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself?" And so, I mean, really, like, for all of us, you know, daily Christian living is daily Christian dying, right? Like, you guys probably heard that before, that, like, that's what being a Christian is. It's dying to ourselves and being committed to the call of Christ. You know, I believe that each one of us has our own fights, right? Like, you guys have your own ministry you've been called to, your own, you know, your own calls upon your life. But I believe it's how we respond to those things that really helps us understand what it means to be a disciple of Christ. If I'd have been confronted by you know, modern-day slavery and the understanding of all the people who don't know the gospel, and I wouldn't have responded the way I do, I think I'd have a hard time calling myself a Christian. And I think that sometimes we throw that word around. We throw Christian around, and we throw it easily. Just it's like, we're Christians, you know? In Thailand, we always say, everyone calls themselves a Buddhist. In fact, it kind of is like, if you're Thai, you are Buddhist. Like, that's like the thing. But the reality is that if you study Buddhism, and then you study how Thais live, it doesn't match up. See, the reality is their religion is really the worship of spirits. And what happened is Buddhism came in, and it kind of went over top of that. And they just kind of added in their true core beliefs, which are that we're afraid of spirits, and we're going to appease them each day so that they don't mess with us. That's their true, that's very dumbed down, but that's good enough for now. But that's their core belief. That's what they really believe. But then they've kind of put Buddhism over top of it. So they always tell you, we're Buddhist. You know, that's what we are. But yet a Buddhist would never, in the morning, go out and put sacrifices out to their ancestors. That's not Buddhism. They would, because their ancestors are back, right? Like, they're back on earth somewhere. So how does that make sense, right? They wouldn't build a spirit house outside their house to keep the spirits outside so they wouldn't come into their house and mess with them. Because there's really, in Buddhism, there's really no such thing as those sorts of evil spirits. And so they're not really what we would say is true Buddhists. Which has been important to know as missionaries, because we realize we're not trying to convince them to not be Buddhist. We're really trying to show them the power of Christ in their life that can help them with this fear of spirits, right? So that's really the gospel that we're preaching. But along that note, I think that sometimes we throw the word Christian around. I know as a young believer, I did it so easily. I just said, like, I'm a Christian. But yet I wasn't committed to the call that Jesus had on my life. I wasn't committed to his plan. I was committed to being moral. I was committed to knowing him, but I wasn't committed to his plan and his call on my life. And I remember, I was reading through Joshua. I would say I was at that phase in my life where I wasn't necessarily committed to God's plan in my life. And I was reading through Joshua, and like you read through what happens at Jericho, and I'm not going to read it right now, but like this plan gets given to Joshua. And it's like, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? Like, it's a terrible plan. But the best is, so Joshua goes up, and this angel comes, and he says, like, remove your sandals. He said, take your sandals off. So Joshua takes his sandals off, and he's given this plan. And then at the end of that, Joshua has to put his sandals back on, and he has to go out, and for 7 days, he has to walk around this city. And I know for me, like when I read that, like it's like now it's just something I've been hearing that story since I was in Sunday school and we just hear it. But I think for me, for so long, I lived in the phase of going in front of Christ and taking my sandals off and just receiving. And I never put my sandals back on and walked around Jericho. And so for us, that's going to Thailand. Do I believe, you know, a small town guy from Wisconsin with a biblical studies education can do anything in the fight against human trafficking? I don't. But if he said we can, then we're going to listen and we're going to walk. And the plan doesn't always make sense to us. Like, it doesn't always make sense. How are we going to find these children? We're dealing with organized criminals. In the last 2 years ago, when we were traveling around sharing about this ministry, we could always say, human trafficking is the third most profitable organized crime. In the 2 years we've been there, it's passed weapons. It's now the second most profitable. And they believe 2 years from now, it will pass the drug trade. It will be the most profitable organized crime. So we're not fighting against fools. We're fighting against people. This is their living. They don't just have the children where we can find them. We have to constantly go before the Lord and say, help us find the children, because we can't do it. Sorry, I didn't mean to get emotional today. I must not have got enough sleep or something. We can't do it. And I'm sure Joshua, he walked away, he put his sandals on, he thought, we're going to walk around Jericho and it's going to fall? I mean, come on. And we don't have any of this. I'm taking a big step out. I'm just thinking about how humans think. I got to think, as he told everyone else, there was a lot of people going like, oh, are you kidding? We're just going to walk? That's all he wants us to do? But yet they did it, right? They put their sandals on and they did it. And that's because, as I go back to the beginning of what I talked about, like, it's not about me. It was never about Joshua. It wasn't about the Israelites. It's not about my kids. It's not about my wife. It's not about us in this room. It's all about him. And he wants those children found. He wants those children rescued. He wants those children restored. He wants this community to be changed for Christ. He wants your neighbors, your family members who aren't walking with the Lord, he wants them to know. And I can't go any deeper than that. I don't know you guys, but there's other callings in this room that he wants it to happen, and it's about him. And so I think that the challenge I'm putting out there, and this isn't where I was headed. I keep looking at my notes, but none of this is in my notes. But I think the challenge that I want to bring to you guys today is, like, let's just put our sandals on together. Like, let's go out there and just do what God wants to do. Because I know for us, the last 2 years, at times it's been terrifying. And when I have to come back, when we had to come back to America and like talk about what we do, it's like, yeah, I do stuff I'm not qualified to do. I do stuff that I don't have the skills to do. I do stuff that intimidates me every day. But the amazing thing is it doesn't matter because it's not about me. And it'll never be about me. That it's all about Him. And we're seeing kids rescued constantly. We're seeing kids restored day after day. We have children that come in. I mean, some of the trauma they've been through, it's not worth our time to talk about it. It's not worth our ears hearing about it. And yet, we see weeks later, them coming into our Friday night worship services, they got their Bible under their arm, a big smile on their face, and they're ready to worship God. Monday nights, we get together as an organization. We pray every Monday night from 7 to 8 o'clock in a room much like this, and we just turn all the lights off, we turn on music, and everybody can just pray how they want to pray. And every Monday night, it's a wonderful time of prayer, but every Monday night I lose it. Because the kids come in a little bit later. The kids have a little devotional, and then they come in. And every Monday night, the little kids come in, and they just begin to pray over all the adults. And it's just so moving from where they've been to what our Lord can do. And how incredible He is in our hearts. Like, these kids have so much to be angry about. So much they just shouldn't trust, but yet they do, because God is good. And so, maybe second service will get to hear my notes. You guys just maybe it's a two service Sunday for some of you guys if you want to hear what I wrote down. But that's what I feel like we were supposed to talk about today. And so I challenge you guys, what we try to do, and we're not always successful as a family, is to put our sandals on and walk. And just do what God's calling us to do. We are here absolutely to just get to know some more people. We are so blessed by your church, but we would be honored today if you could come stop by our table out there. We have a lot of literature about the school, about Zoe. If there's anybody who rides bikes, please come talk to me. We have a big fundraiser where they're riding bike across America. We also have a few things for sale. We have some t-shirts and some cookbooks. I don't know, some other stuff, right? We have one coloring book. We're almost sold out of coloring books. So, but just please come talk to us. We'd love to get to know all you guys. Talk to our kids. They have stories too. And we can't thank you enough for partnering with us, but allowing us to be here today and just share and worship with you guys. So I'm going to pray, and I think we're going to move to communion. So Lord, thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the body of believers you've brought together here. Lord, I thank you for their worship this morning, how they've come together to glorify your name, to honor you, Lord. I thank you for allowing us to partner with them and be able to say we're brothers and sisters with them, Lord, and we're trying to follow you together. I pray today that you lead us after service in our conversations, and I just thank you, Lord, for this time. In your son's name, amen.